us tonight, the former Secretary of the Treasury for the Bush administration knows a thing or two about how these cabinets operate. Please welcome Paul O'Neill. Sir? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Thank you so much for coming by. You were in the Bush administration's cabinet. You headed up Alcoa, is that correct?
That's right.
And when
for 13 years.
And when they asked you to join the cabinet, did you have to leave that position?
No, I was in the process of retiring from being the chairman of Alcoa.
Okay.
And I was going to go and enjoy my life.
And suddenly?
And suddenly they asked me to come, and I talked to my wife about it, and she said, God, don't do that.
and I had to go and do it.
That's right. I didn't take good advice.
How long were you there for?
23 months.
Oh. Still stings a little bit.
No.
Not at all?
No.
Happy to be gone.
I'm delighted not to be there.
Right. Let me ask you this. It is, watching Tommy Thompson give his press conference, he really seemed unburdened to some extent, as though, and I understand that they need loyalty from their cabinet. I understand that. But do they... Is candid advice solicited? Do they want candid advice?
I tell you, I was watching that, and I watched Tommy when he delivered all of that, and I thought, God, he's doing now what I did from the first day I was there.
Right.
Right. You know,
I got in trouble for it every time that you would make a statement that
it
seemingly
was not highly, it was not highly welcome. You're right.
Now, how do they make that clear? Do you get a snap mail, perhaps, from someone? Does an alert come on your computer, or do you get a call?
No, nobody ever confronted me directly about...
Really?
No, not really. There was no... no one called me up and said, oh, we'd rather you didn't do that, you know, even though it was clear, mostly because of a media reaction that it wasn't polite to say things like we have to worry about whether our foreign aid actually goes to the people or whether it goes to Swiss bank accounts. You're not supposed to say things like that.
Right. But when you do that...
I found it was the truth, and so I did it anyway.
The truth. What did you admire about the way they do business? Maybe that's do you ever think, like, you know what? I didn't necessarily enjoy my time there, but I do admire the way they handled blah.
Right.
So,
you know, in the book that Ron Suskind wrote about me,
right,
he drew out of me my reflections on the time that I was in the government before. And the thing I really liked about the time that I was in the government before is there was a process that was known as the Brandeis brief process, which was a way of creating a context and everything that we know about every issue with the pros and cons. And
this is in the Nixon and Ford administrations.
Yeah, well, right. Actually, I went there in the Kennedy administration, but this is particularly in the Nixon and Ford administration. We had a process where our standard was we need to put in front of the president on every important issue the best information and thought process that the mind of man can conjure up.
Cost-benefit analysis, every issue is
everything.
Broken down, pros and cons. This administration handles it.
You said the blah thing, yeah.
That's it. But so is it, it's all gut instinct? It's all, what's my mood ring say today? Like what? It's not...
It wasn't what I thought I signed up for.
Really? Now, when you watch how the Iraq situation has unfolded, does it make sense to you, knowing their process, that things have taken a turn for the chaotic? Knowing how they make their decisions? Because they keep saying the plans for the occupation were in place, they were just ignored. Does that ring true to you, knowing the process that they make their decisions with?
You know, I think this, having traveled around the world and worked in... more than 50 different countries.
Mm-hmm.
I think having that kind of an experience equips you better to know the chaos you're likely to find when you take on an objective of trying to create a democracy in a short period of time for 25 million people who've never had that. And
what are you doing making sense again? What are you thinking?
It's what I do, John.
So you prefer using your experience...
I see.
Would you ever, had you ever thought about running for office, or is that something that wouldn't interest you as much?
You know, I thought maybe 10 or 15 years ago that I should think about running for office. But when I look at, and I think it's gotten worse, the ugliness of what passes for political process in our country, I couldn't...
And media process.
I couldn't see myself doing that. And media process as well. One of the things that was honestly very disappointing to me in the time that I was in the government this time is I thought that maybe the reason why there wasn't more truth-telling is because no one had tried it, and that the media would like it a lot. But I found, interestingly enough, the media hammered me really hard for telling the truth. It was
really?
Like they're part of
So there's
of the
no
way,
incentivizing either coming from the government or the media.
No, they're part of the way things work. And when I said things like, you know, foreign exchange rates are set by discounted expectations about future rates of productivity between countries, they said, oh, God, you're supposed to say we're for a strong dollar, and that's all you're supposed to say.
So if you veered from that whatever narrative, they were like, don't make us do work at night,
this
my friend.
This guy is... Exactly right. Yeah, well, yeah.
This is why, sir, if I may, and I hate to toot our horn, this is why fake news is the wave of the future. This is why it's beginning to happen. Well, I'm delighted to see you, and I really appreciate you giving such honest reflections of your time there, because I think it's a real insight for people that are watching. I appreciate you coming
by. I like what you're doing. Keep making fun.
All right. Nice to see you, sir. Thank you.